Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Three Fates Decide. My name's Mary. I'm with my two co-hosts, Sam and Liz. Say hi, ladies.
Hello.
I think Liz ran away.
Wait, what?
I said
hello. I don't know why I didn't pick up.
Oh, I didn't hear you at all.
Oh.
Either.
Okay.
All yeah. Right. And we are here tonight with not one guest, but two guests. As our listeners will remember from last week, we had Sam's sister Jennifer with us. Jennifer is with us again this week. Say hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
And we also have another very special guest with us. She is the daughter of a very good friend of mine. Her name is Sarah. Say hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah's going to be kind of, she's got a class to do, and she's kind of learning a little bit about podcasting because she's got to do a little bit of podcasting for her class. So we're just kind of letting her sit in and help us with this. And so she kind of gets a little experience with it. But tonight, we are going to be talking about one of the biggest royal, I guess you could say, one of the biggest royal scandals to come out in the past century or so. The Harry and Meghan Netflix documentary series.
Yeah.
And let's just say, y'all, it was a lot.
It was.
Yeah, it was a lot.
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right. So this week we are going to be talking about...
But just when you least expect it, we changed the game.
One Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
I mean, we always celebrated Easter.
You're part of the Half-Blood Prince.
So we're going to do another free talk, freestyle thing. No planned discussion.
At the end of the day, only one thing matters. We decide.
We're going to hit the main highlights.
That is the thing of what we were saying back in that episode.
Quick recap.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of crazy. And there's actually a lot that has come out even outside of the whole Netflix documentary series that we're going to kind of talk about a little bit as well. But basically just the whole drama surrounding these two is just crazy.
It is. It really, really is. If you've been living under a rock since about 2016, 2017, Prince Harry met and married American actress Meghan Markle. And this documentary has kind of chronicled their relationship from how they met, although I'm really kind of iffy on that one because it's changed from what other people have said and what they themselves have said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that whole debacle. To their subsequent engagement, marriage, and what seemed to be a very abrupt exit from the royal family due to what they claim is a lot of bullying, harassment, racism. Well, I'm not denying that some of that may have gone on. I don't necessarily know. I'm not part of the royal family. I don't know. I think a lot of it has been exacerbated and what's the word I'm looking for?
Fabricated.
Fabricated, exactly. And made to be and enlarged in ways that it probably really wasn't in truth.
And again, the problem with everything and the problem that I have between the Oprah interview that they did and the docuseries and now Harry's book and then Harry saying he has so much stuff, he may come out with a second book. And then Meghan Markle, there's rumors that she could be coming out with a book and or docuseries herself and all this stuff. And it's like, they're throwing major shots at the royal family, and the royal family cannot respond because they don't do that.
Exactly.
And, yeah, you know, so the people that are on Harry and Meghan's side are just taking their word as Bible, and that's it, not knowing basically what the whole truth is. And the end with everything, there's been so many lies that have come out. They have caught themselves in lies because they forget what they've said. And then they contradict themselves down the line again. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And I will have to agree with a lot of the critics that reviewed the series and that said it was very one-sided, very whiny, very boring, and a lot of regurgitating the exact same stuff we'd already heard 1,000 times before. They said nothing new throughout the entire series.
And I mean, listen, I'm not pro Harry, Meghan. I'm not a pro royal family, like, whatever, you know, but it's like, I have an issue about only hearing one side of the story and them just continuing. I mean, it's just every time they open their mouth, it gets worse and worse and worse. And like, the problem is that Harry, unfortunately, I think a lot of this stems from his mother's death. And he said in that docuseries that, you know, Meghan reminds him so much of his mother. That he said that, I can't even tell you how many times, that she reminds, I honestly think this is mommy issues. That he is as protective as he would be, I think, to anyone who was his wife, especially because of what happened to his mother. I think because in his mind, she represents his mother, it's even worse. And it's, you know, it, to me, it just screams, you know, mommy issues. He's never had a chance to kind of help for his, after his mother's death. He's had a lot of trauma as a result. And, you know, I'm not excusing, obviously, his actions, but I do think a lot of this just kind of stems from that. I think he just needs help. In all honesty, I really do. I think he needs help. He's pushing away everybody. He's completely alienated himself from his friends and his family because his friends aren't talking to him anymore either. Yeah. As a result of all of this.
And I will tell you right now, in the long run, he is going to regret walking away from the royal family. He is going
day
to regret
after the divorce.
Ooh, predictions.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Harry and Meghan. I still think Harry's best relationship was with Chelsea. I will admit that. I understand she did not want the royal life, and I don't blame her for that. But I do think that was his best relationship.
Yeah.
And I am so sorry. Every time he says that Meghan is just like his mother, Diana, I'm like, no, she is not. And that her and his mother would get along like they would be best friends. They'd get along like two peas in a pot. I'm like, no, they would not. No. Diana would be very nice and polite to her face and in public, as dictated through the royal protocol. However, no.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, I think Samantha's also right that this is definitely probably stemming originally from, you know, mommy issues and unresolved trauma from his mother's death. But let's be real. He's learned all the actions that he's doing right now. He learned from his mother and his father, putting all the dirt out into the public, using the press for your own, you know, good, but then pitching a fit when they start reporting stuff that, you know, goes against what you want. I think that, you know, he compared the treatment that Meghan got, he compared it to, you know, what Kate received and what his mother received with the public hounding them. And maybe they did. I don't remember that. I was not anti Harry and Meghan. for a very long time, I really wasn't. I didn't have an opinion really one way or the other. My whole thing was, if he's happy, then great, you know, he's happy. I don't remember having, you know, seeing the hordes of press follow Meghan down the street. Nobody knew they were dating until they were practically engaged. You know, I mean, poor Kate had upskirt shots taken of her all throughout, you know, the first couple years of their marriage. She had those topless photos that were printed with a long lens camera from how far away, you know, so right. There's definitely things that are different. I'm not saying that Meghan and Harry were not hounded by the press or didn't receive bad press or weren't constantly compared to his brother and sister-in-law, because they were compared. And, you know, that's just the nature of having two, you know, like you always compare one to the other. But I think the most important thing that I keep reminding myself is, you know, Harry keeps saying he's telling his truth. He's, you know, this, he's not telling his truth. He's selling his truth, which is a completely different story than sitting down one-on-one with a respectable, you know, reporter or whomever, respectable paper, whoever you want to pick, one of your, you know, self-picked people, and telling your story and not getting any monetary benefit from it. He's done nothing but get monetary benefit from it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a hard time, not to mention like everything that's come out that they've proven that is incorrect. Mm-hmm. You know, like forget all the stuff that they've basically proven that he was wrong about. It's the fact that you're selling your story to the highest bidder that leaves a very awful taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, considering the fact that they made nearly they banked up nearly $100 million from the Netflix deal that they have, which is multiple series, multiple shows, multiple things to be put onto Netflix. They've made $100 million. They paid them $100 million to do this shit.
And Netflix wants them to be like the Kardashians of Netflix. Like they want a reality show with them.
I know. And I'm just like,
disgusting.
Yeah. But the thing of it is that they are completely reveling in the dramatization and all the bullcrap that has gone on. I'm not going to deny the fact that Meghan probably has experienced some racism, because
I'm with you. I'm sure that there that there was stuff. I wouldn't deny that. Yeah, no.
I will never deny that. But the fact of it is that, and I was talking to my mother about this morning, and my mother said she didn't even realize that Meghan was a biracial woman of color until they were married. Because before that, and Meghan used this to her advantage for years, she is white passing.
Right.
She is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm not denying the fact that she is a biracial, that she is a woman of color, she is biracial, and that she has experienced racism, whether it be overt or an insidious, very, you know, you really don't realize it's happening.
Yeah, an unconscious bias.
An unconscious bias, exactly. Yeah. So she has used the fact that she is a white passing for years. I'm sorry. She did.
I mean, I'd agree. We have no way of knowing how much, you know, she's experienced as a member of the royal family.
Well, she said the first time that she ever experienced anything of racism and what it is to be a, and these are her words, a black woman.
Right.
Wasn't until she was dating Harry.
Right. I mean, there's no way of anybody knowing exactly what she went through. And I don't think anybody would deny that there was not, you know, things said about her, you know, absolutely. I'm sure there was, because that's just the world we live in. People have an inability to accept things that they don't agree with. You know what I mean? Like, so exactly. I don't doubt that they absolutely were affected by it. I'm sure they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disgusting if they were. You know what I mean? Like whatever was put their way was absolutely disgusting. I just don't think that the overarching theme of their leaving the royal family and all that had to do with racism. I think it I all either. Had to do with power and, you know, mm-hmm. wanting
and
to
she
be
didn't have
top
it.
Dog. Right, exactly.
Right. They knew that they would never be top dog in the royal family, so they decided to leave so that they could be somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, nobody here is ever going to deny that there was, I'm sure there was racism. And, but just some of the things that they've done, they've made it like their entire things, their entire existence has been, oh, she was bullied because of this, or she was bullied because of that. Oh, it's because they didn't like her because of this. They didn't like her because of that. No, they didn't like her because she reveled in the fame, the paparazzi. She reveled in that. You can't tell me she didn't. She's still doing it to this day.
I think in the beginning, it's hard to remember. I feel like it's COVID really just kind of took these years and mashed them all together. I think in the beginning, like when they were first married and, or, you know, first engaged, first married, and the negative, if you even want to put them out there, stories that were coming out about her, it wasn't, none of the reasons for the negative stories were about her being Black or biracial. Or, it was about her being American and how her American, you know, how she did things was so un-British, and, you know, her British staff weren't used to it. You know, she was very American. I just remember that always being the thing, how she was American. And I got that, you know, like I understood that this was a professional woman. You know, she's worked, she knew her own mind. You know, she was older. She was however old she was when they first started dating slash got married.
She's a year older than I am.
So she, I mean, she was in her mid to late 30s when this also, you know, she was somebody who knew her mind. She was a professional. She was used to calling the shots, you know, so I understood that critique. I understood the British staff not getting it. You know what I mean? I just remember thinking, like, it's going to take time for everybody to just kind of feel each other out and figure out what works best for everybody. But that never happened. You know, she never compromised. And I don't think that the staff, you know, the royal staff, you know, those people have been doing this job for centuries. They don't change. Those people, this is what they do. This is how they do it. And this is how they're always going to do it. And you better figure out a way to work with them. You know, so I think that was probably the beginning of issues. And I think that, I mean, I don't know, I'm not there, I'm not a member of any of this, but they decided to turn it as, it's racist, it's because I'm biracial, it's because I have a Black mother, and not because I like doing things my own way and I don't really care that this isn't the way it's done. Figured, you know, you figure out how to work with me, I'm not going to figure out how to work with you.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing that stood out for me is the fact that she honestly thought the royal family was somewhat of a joke. Because the first time she met Queen Elizabeth, she was told she was going to have to curtsy.
Right.
And she's like, you're kidding, right? This is a joke. I don't have to curtsy to the queen. The hell you don't.
Right.
Well, right. Because she assumed because she's meeting grandma, you know. Like,
yeah,
she's
but
still
you
the queen.
I'm like, yeah, she may be grandma to Harry, but she's also the queen of a
country. Harry has to bow to her, you
she's
know?
She's seriously.
Queen first. Right, she's the queen first.
Queen
granny
first,
second.
Grandma. Yeah. Granny second. I'm like, that is just common sense. That's the thing. That is just like common sense.
And here's the thing. You know, I've seen the clip of, you know, her with that fake facetious curtsy that she did on the documentary, and I also saw the look that Harry gave. I don't think Harry appreciated that.
No,
that she was talking about that, but at the same time, like, you're not even a good liar. Like, you know damn well you're lying. Everybody watching that knows you're lying. You are meeting his grandmother, who you know is the queen. You're going to sit there and tell me that that's your initial reaction? Nobody in their right mind has that initial reaction. Everybody in their right mind goes, okay, right, just how big of a curtsy do I need? Should it be a little curtsy? Like, how do I do big this? Curtsy? Like, when do I do it? You know, like, nobody's thinking, like, let me do this, you know, like, huge genuflection of a curtsy and make an absolute fool of myself. Not one person is thinking about that.
No.
The queen this is why Americans are annoying.
I mean, like,
right?
Here's the thing that, like, I don't understand is that, okay, why didn't you get somebody to teach you, explain these things to you? That's the thing that was, like, bugging me when I was watching the earlier episodes in the series was that, like, okay, if you're supposed to meet his family, then why didn't you have, like, a conversation or something when you're about to meet the family? Because don't a lot of people meeting, like, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, whoever, you know, their partner's families for the first time, like, don't you guys ever have conversations about, like, okay, what rules about,
absolutely,
you know, the family do I need to know? Like, do I need to know, oh, don't mention this to so-and-so because they're going to start, you know, lecturing you about, like, you know, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like those kind of rules you need to know because you're going into, you know, the proverbial room meeting a bunch of strangers that are really important to your partner. And, you know, this is like, this is something potentially serious. So it's like, you need to know what the dynamics are. What are the rules?
Not to mention, you're an actress. You're telling me you don't study before you put on a performance? Like, anybody meeting their partner's family for the first time, you're totally putting on a performance. Like, from start to finish, like, you are on your best behavior. You're putting on a performance. Like, you're telling me you did absolutely no studying, like, to even know who these people were before you got in the car to go meet them? Whose fault is that if it's true? Like, that's your own damn fault that you didn't prepare for this moment.
Right?
Yeah. Because she totally, to me, she sounded like your typical image of the dumb American bumbling around in the China shop, crashing into things and looking dumb.
Yeah. Oh, but I think, looking at Harry's face when she was doing that, he just did not look impressed at all with that part. That's like, I don't know. I don't get it. But then at the same time, like, I know another thing that was kind of brought up was, I think it's more in Harry's book, but that William tried to talk Harry out of marrying Meghan. Like, people kind of flipped out about this, but, like, that's what family does. If they really don't think someone is right, they're going to tell you. You know, like, they're going to try and, you know, like, I don't see, I mean, is it hurtful? Sure. But, like, I mean, to Meghan, I can understand that being hurtful. But, like, I really, I can see, like, families do that all the time. I don't think they're right for you. I don't think you should marry them. Like, are you really sure about this? Like, no, type of thing. And, you know, right away when people heard about that, they start flipping out about how, you know, William is this horrible person. And, you know, that's kind of become the theme. It's, I feel like now it's Harry versus Meghan versus William and Kate type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't get me started on that whole, Meghan's like, I'm a hugger. I've always been a hugger, and I didn't realize how jarring that was to the British people.
Let me tell you, if she came up to me and hugged me, I'd flatten her. Like, do not hug me. I am not a
right?
hugger. Like, who
that's my thing. I'm not a hugger.
Who does that? Like, don't touch me. Even if I know you, like, just don't touch me. Like, I'm not a hugger. Like, I completely understand that.
I do too, honestly.
I mean, I'm not really much of a hugger either. I mean, only a few people I will ever hug. Otherwise, 90-something% of the time, I'm also like, don't touch me either. Because, you know, for me, it's like, it's my own cultural background. Like, we're not touchy-feely kind of people. So it's like, it's just not natural to me that if you're not like a 5-year-old little kid, I'm not going to hug you, you know?
And I'm sorry, okay. But in the age of, you know, where everyone is more, you know, taking consent more seriously, right, than I think in the past, someone doesn't want to hug, you don't hug them. I don't care if you're a hugger. That doesn't excuse you for touching someone. They don't want to be touched.
Sorry. I just don't know who hugs somebody the first time you are introduced to them. Like, who,
right?
Who does that?
Yeah. My thing of it is that I have some issues when it comes to physical touch. They're my own issues for stemming from childhood. I don't like to be touched. If I'm not the one to initiate it, please do not touch me. It's quite difficult with my daughter because she's very, very loving and touchy and cuddly at times.
She's also a little kid.
She's not even 6 yet. But it's also easier because she is smaller and I know she doesn't really understand as much, and I'm going to use Sarah's mom as a perfect example of this. I've never met Sarah's mom other than online. We've never met in person. However, I do know that when we do meet in person, even though neither one of us is real touchy feely, I do know there will be a hug at that point, you know, but I'm prepared for that. I'm willing to give that hug around, you know, that physical touch. And we hug each other online all the time. And I actually had mentioned it one time and she goes, "Oh my God, does it bother you when I do that?" I said, "No, because it's not a physical touch. It's a mental touch. And I mentally prepare myself for it." You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, listen, there's always exceptions. You know, like there's certain people. You've also talked to, you know, like you have a relationship. It's not like you're just going to meet her out of the blue, not knowing who she is, you know, like, so I can't just go up and just hug someone and be like, "Hello, nice to meet you."
Same. Can't do it. But because I saw something that said that it was about Kate's uncle was saying that Kate is very, very huggy and touchy and quite soft and warm when she's in private. And that they were somewhere and they threw, they were at a party and she was holding George, Prince George, when he was little. And she went running across the room to give several family members of hers a hug. Of course she did. One, they're family members. Two, she was in a private area where she felt comfortable enough to do something like that. I would be like, I wouldn't be wanting some strange ass American woman giving me some damned hug and that I just met.
Yeah, I think that's the whole like first introduction, that's weird. I'm sorry. It's weird.
It is. It's weird. The whole huggy thing was weird. But I don't think it was fair for her to call Kate cold. Because Kate didn't want a hug or didn't, you know, like that doesn't make her cold. That just makes her
normal.
She's uncomfortable with you. She doesn't know you.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And you're that should be okay.
Yeah. I want to go back to something Samantha said real quick where she was talking about William, you know, the whole thing with, you know, William asking Harry, you know, or I guess trying to convince Harry not to get married, whatever. So apparently it wasn't even to that extent. It was that William was concerned that the relationship was moving too fast and asked him if he was sure, which completely, like our parents, Samantha, our parents were dating for 3 months before they got engaged. I am very sure that every single member of their family, A, asked them if they were sure, and B, tried to get them to, you know, get engaged. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a very normal thing to say. And I think Harry took it the wrong way. You know, I think he took it as William saying, I don't agree with this, when instead I think it was an older brother saying, are you sure? You know, this family that she was going to marry into, or that she did wind up marrying into, like, it's not like marrying into a normal family. Like, this is a job. She was going to have to give up everything to join this family. That's a big ask of somebody, especially somebody with a career that she now has to give. Like, she's got to give up everything, you know? So I think he overreacted. I think he took it the wrong way. And I think when you look at it from this side of, you know, not being involved at all, it's a legitimate question, you know? And I think that that's what I just don't know this for a fact, but I have a feeling that that's what started everything. The whole shebang all started with William asking his brother if he was sure, because this relationship was moving very fast.
Yeah, no, and yeah, I think you're right. I think that's when Harry became ultra defensive with everything, and especially with his brother, and that could kind of be where everything started to fall apart with Harry and William. Now, maybe they had started beforehand, like, obviously, I don't know, but, like, they haven't had a good relationship for a long time, and obviously now it's even worse than before, but
right,
you know, I agree. I think that's when Harry went on the defensive, and I think that's where a lot of their stuff kind of starts, you know, coming through with the family not, you know, supporting them and all that stuff. But, you know, when they decided to leave royal family, and Jennifer, you and I have talked about this, they wanted to be part-time royal family members, so they basically still got the benefits without having to put in as much work, so that they could go off and do whatever else they wanted to do. Well, the Queen said, absolutely not. So they left the royal family. That is perfectly fine. Like, I personally have no problem with that. And I'm sure family would have been okay with it. You want to leave? That's your right. You know, you want to go off and be private citizens and all that? That is your prerogative. You can do that. And I don't think anything bad would have happened if they left quietly, like they said they wanted to, and lived in peace wherever they wanted to. But then they complained because Charles stopped paying for them. You know, you weren't in the royal family anymore, so he wasn't going to pay for your stuff anymore. You weren't doing any public appearances, which is what he kind of paid for. He paid for the you know, clothes and, you know, whatever you needed for public appearances. You weren't doing that anymore. It's like, if you leave a job, you don't get paid.
Well, that, and it was, they no longer had royal security.
You weren't in the royal family anymore. Like, you were leaving, you were going to the U.S. Or I guess at first they wanted to do Canada. That was another thing. They wanted to move to Canada, and Harry said that the palace leaked that they were moving to Canada, so then they couldn't move to Canada.
No, it wasn't Canada. It was they wanted to move to New Zealand, then they thought maybe South Africa, and it got leaked that they were thinking of moving to South Africa.
Okay. I thought it was Canada. Then they
supposedly went to Canada, but they never actually went to Canada. That's just what they told the royal family, is that they were in Canada, when in actuality they were staying with Tyler Perry's home for 6 weeks in the US, in California, before they made the official announcement that they were moving to California.
Right. And then Canada told them, we're absolutely not paying for your security. So
that too.
Canada completely came off the list because the taxpayers said no.
Do you blame them?
No. If you want to be private citizens, great.
Then be private citizens.
Be private. There's plenty of very rich private citizens that pay for their own security.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
And they have a very, very nice mansion in Southern California. First of all, you want to be private citizens, you want to be protected. Oh, we have a lot of places in the U.S. that you could go hide.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will bother you. You pick right outside of L.A.
They don't want to be private citizens.
I know they don't.
No, they don't. They claim that. They claim that they don't want any of the paparazzi. They don't want the fame. Right. They don't want all this and all that. If they didn't want it, then they would have moved and nobody would have heard another damn word from them.
except for, you know, when Philip passed away and like all that stuff, when they would go back to, to London, and that's how it should be. But no, now they're, you know.
Yeah, that kind of was, there was that scene in the documentary where they're like in their car and they're looking out the windows, making sure they're like, there's no paparazzi following them. I'm like, what is this?
I would really like to know how many paparazzi actually follow them on a daily basis. I'd really like to know. Like, I want somebody to take a picture. Exactly. Like, I wanted somebody to take a picture of the masses of the paparazzi, because if there was as many paparazzi as they're saying, there'd be pictures of them. Like, the paparazzi doesn't take pictures for their own good. They sell them. So either nobody's buying the pictures, nobody's taking the pictures, because the only pictures that are ever released are the ones that they release themselves.
And you know, since Megan was an actress, she knows perfectly well how the whole paparazzi PR game actually works, especially in this side of the Atlantic. Because obviously none of us are British, so we don't 100% know how the whole paparazzi thing is in the UK or in Europe, but from what we've talked about in previous episodes related to, you know, celebrity PR and stuff, we know that nowadays especially, it's so much easier and so much more profitable for everybody involved to arrange for the paps to take the pictures of you, because then you have some degree of control over what images get put out. The paparazzi will get their money and they don't have to camp out, you know, at random places for like hours, just hoping they're going to catch somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now they have a guaranteed job, basically, because now they know, oh, you know, so-and-so is going to be at this restaurant for lunch, so you need to hang out by, you know, 11:45 and, you know, you can leave in a couple hours. Great. I got my gig for the day, you know?
Or one of many gigs I have for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they could have like four or five different celebrities that they could go follow that day, you know, or take pictures of that day, depending on what time they need to be there for whatever it is.
Right. And I mean, listen, freelance paparazzi still exists. They still hound. I mean, I've seen videos of them hounding different celebrities and getting yelled at and all that stuff. Like, that stuff does still occur. But as Jennifer said, where are the pictures if that is actually occurring? Where are they? You're such a hot commodity that all these paparazzi are chasing you. Where are the pictures? Where's that evidence? There is none.
Right. Especially, you know, right. Especially because, you know, they kept going on and on about comparing Meghan to Diana. Well, that's exactly what happened with Diana. She had pictures taken of her all the time. Like, you know, so many, like, you know, more established, reputable newspapers will talk about her, but also, you know, The Sun, you know, all sorts of gossipy tabloids had pictures of her like every week. You know, so where is that?
Every day, practically, not every week, every day.
Well, yeah.
There was a new picture of Diana somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. But it just annoys me that, like, you know, you decided to leave. And, like, I know one thing was, like, Tyler Perry was talking about how, like, the royal family are doing, like, financial abuse by cutting them off. Like, the way he was saying it.
They're doing just fine.
They were acting like they left them with pennies. Talking about two people who still had a lot of money, they could buy this mansion in Southern California. Like, don't sit there and tell me that they were victims of financial abuse because Carl's cut them off. Again, you were no longer working members of the royal family. You do not get, you still get money. Get a job.
Not to mention, Harry was, what, 30-something years old? Daddy cut you off. You have, you know, he probably had like, I think, 12 million that he inherited from his mother. Queen.
That's just what I was gonna say. Yeah. He had his mother's inheritance that he got.
Plus, the queen mother left him a larger inheritance because he wasn't going to be king. William was, and William was going to have the duchy of, you know, Cornwall to pay for everything. So he got more money from the queen mother because he was, you know, the spare. Plus Meghan had, what, 8 million, I think they said was her, like, her net worth at that point. Like, you had money.
Right.
You just didn't have a blank check to do what you wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you do the Oprah thing that gave them money. They, you know, were doing all these different things. And now obviously this Netflix deal and then the book, like, people are excusing the book because he's taking, I think, half of the proceeds and donating it. Which, okay, that's awesome. Like, but you're still
great.
You're still donating money on trashing your family.
I mean, like, they keep acting like they're like these, they're like poor. I'm like, you're not poor. You've never been poor. You'll never be poor. I mean, you just don't have the royal funds to fund anything. And even then, the royal funds are not limitless. Or they're not unlimited. There is a limit to the royal funds even. You know, I mean, granted, it's a very large limit, but it's a limit nonetheless.
Yeah. Again, like, and I mean, why do you even deserve that money? You're not doing anything.
Seriously. And then my heart went out to Meghan when she did have her miscarriage. My heart did go out to her for that. I mean, that is a horrible thing to happen to any woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad for her. I empathized with her, you know, but for them to sit there and say that it was because of the Daily Mail caused all the stress for her to have that, I was like, really? That is such a cop out.
Yeah.
That it almost made it feel like they're like that devastating period in their life was just another excuse.
Yeah. I mean, it again, like you said, it's horrific. I did read something, and again, I don't know if it's true, but like Meghan was saying that she had the miscarriage when Archie was 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then she had Lilibet however long after. Timing actually doesn't even match up. That would mean she was only pregnant with Lilibet for 7 months based on when she said she had the miscarriage. I'm not saying she didn't have a miscarriage, but
when
she said it occurred, I don't think is when it occurred. But regardless, it is a horrific thing.
I think it occurred many months before that. Many months before that. You know what I mean? Because I have a feeling that they were trying to get pregnant quickly because of her age. Not saying that she was too old or anything, but the older you get, the harder it can be to get pregnant.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I do think she probably had that at a very I'd say she had it 6 or 7 months before she even admitted she had it.
But yeah, so I wanted to see if I could find the thing that I saw because it said the timeline. But again, it doesn't, not that that matters. I mean, I would hope that she wouldn't lie about something like that.
My guess is she didn't announce it. What, you know what I mean? Like, there was a delay in the announcement, if I had to guess. And I think she was probably just pregnant.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, over the weekend, Twitter was hashtags. Meghan and Harry are finished was trending.
God, I hope so.
And hashtag Meghan Markle is a yacht girl.
Oh boy,
was trending. So, as you mentioned kind of earlier, Mary, that don't really know obviously how Meghan and Harry met, but there is strong evidence. It is all, you know, don't know exactly, but there is evidence that supposedly Meghan was a yacht girl for
Jeffrey Epstein.
I keep wanting to say Weinstein. I'm like, no, not him. Other Steen. Jeffrey Epstein. And that she actually met Prince Andrew and knew Prince Andrew back all the way to 2001, to the point that they actually wanted to depose her in his trial against a girl, Virginia, that had stated that Prince Andrew raped her, which, by the way, girl's now saying she may have made a mistake and it wasn't Prince Andrew, so it might get brought up again. So that'll be interesting if that happens. But yeah, so fun times. And then also the things that were going around was there was a story that Harry had from when he was in the military and he was doing training, and there was a stall drill or whatever. And I don't know what he said because I didn't read his book, but superior at the time came out and said everything he said about that story was a lie. Again, don't know what's the truth.
There's been quite a number of things come out, you know, in regards to the book. Basically, people have disproven. And my whole thing, and none of them are important to the story of what happened between him and his family. But my whole thing is, if you have not gotten any of these little details right, why on earth should any of us believe that you got, you know, the details of what happened between you and your family right? You know what I mean? Like, you said that when you found out the Queen Mother died, you were at Eton, and you remember because it was like a warm spring, you were snowing with your brother and your father. I mean, it's not snowing. You were skiing with your brother and your father at Closter's. You know what I mean? Like, you were not at school. You were nowhere near school. You know, like, how do you get that wrong? You know, the flying thing. Basically, you know, he said that without warning, like, he didn't know it was going to happen, that the instructor basically stalled the plane or the helicopter or whatever he was flying as a drill to help him learn what to do. Except that never happens. Like, everything is gone over in detail before you ever get inside the aircraft. And that's why the instructor basically came out and said, absolutely not. This didn't happen. He's wrong. And the whole, like, oh, I love shopping at TJ Maxx during their sales. Well, TJ Maxx comes out and says, we don't have sales. You know what I mean? So, like, are any of these things important? No. You didn't get any of them right. So why should anybody believe you got anything else right?
Seriously. It was all so one-sided with everything. You know, they didn't allow for, they claimed that they reached out to all the royal family and to allow them to be interviewed for it or to put a statement out about it or comment on it, yet nobody supposedly reached back out to them. I don't know. It was all just, oh, it's just, it's awful. It's awful.
Here's my whole thing. And, like, you know, obviously, like, I don't know how many people are pro, you know, Harry and Meghan or whatever. Like, on TikTok, it's, to me, it seems to be more people are against William and Harry and pro Harry and Meghan and whatever. Like, again, my whole thing is you've only heard half of the story. Like, that's what annoys me. It's like these people are just taking Harry and Meghan's word as Bible, and they don't care. And, you know, now they, you know, they hate the royal family, whatever. I mean, listen, you don't want to like the royal family. You don't have to. But it's like, I just never understand how people can listen to one side of a story and just be like, yep, that's it. You know, the royal family is a bunch of racist bullies that,
you know, yes, hate. But Harry said that they're not racist. Yeah. Harry came out and said in the interview, no, my family is not racist. About a week after him and Meghan accepted an award for fighting racism in the royal family. Yes.
It's and if you are against Meghan, you're racist. It's the other thing. If you don't like Meghan, you are racist. I mean, I don't dislike Meghan. I don't know Meghan. I just, this whole thing's ridiculous. You know, like, but like, I hate that whole thing. It's, if you're not with them, then that's it. You're a racist and, you know, whatever. Like, no, I just think she's wrong for you know, doing all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, oh, poor Harry, everything that he had to go through, which absolutely, poor Harry. But Harry wasn't the only one that had to go through all these traumas. William went through the same traumas.
I can't imagine, as an older sibling, finding out that my younger sibling, who I thought was the closest person to me in the world, you know, the two of us were two peas in a pod. We'd gone through all this together, you know. I can't imagine the hurt it must be to hear that that person who you thought was, you know, always there for you, considered you their arch nemesis. I can't imagine the pain that that must have brought. You know, here William, and listen, I'm not taking sides in this because I don't know who's right, who's wrong. There's probably a little bit of truth on both sides. But to hear that your sibling, who you love and would have done anything for and stuck, helped and did all this, considered you for pretty much their entire life, so they say, as their arch nemesis, that's just heartbreaking. That's horrific. How do you recover from that? You know, and to sit here and say that you're not gonna, you know, go back to your family unless they apologize to you. You have yet to accept any apology anyone has given you. Megan's father has tried to apologize for years over that, you know, paparazzi setup in Mexico. You have basically written him out of your life. Like, you will not acknowledge the fact that he has tried to apologize more times. Jeremy Clarkson, you know, like, he, you know, said some very not nice things about Megan after, you know, the Netflix documentary, and he apologized, and you basically threw it back in his face and said you didn't care. So, like, why should they apologize? You haven't accepted anybody's apology at any point in time. So, like, do you just want the apology so that you can say, ha, we won? You know, like, what is it that you want them to apologize for?
I don't even think they know. I think at this point, all they know is that the only way for them to stay relevant is to continually bring up the past.
Yeah.
And people are getting sick and tired of hearing about the past. It's in the past for a reason. Because I literally was just looking online because I was looking up to go kind of go back to the to when she was the miscarriage and then pregnant with Lilibet. If you look, if you watch, I guess this the sixth episode of the documentary, which I never did watch because I made it through first four and I was like, I'm done. there's a shot of her visibly pregnant or supposed to be visibly pregnant. And she does not look like a pregnant woman. Like, she doesn't look like I shouldn't say all pregnant women, but most pregnant women have a certain widening of, like, the lower half of the body, like the hips, the legs, the buttocks area, besides the belly area, tend to get a little bit larger and spread. All you see is this huge bump on her. That is it. Everything else on her, she does not look pregnant whatsoever.
I don't remember what she looked like when she was pregnant with Archie. Like, I remember her having a bump.
She looked pregnant.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything. She looked pregnant. I remember her face was fuller.
Yeah, her face swelled.
Her face was fuller. Yeah. She had her backside got significantly larger.
Yeah. I remember the belly and I remember the face getting larger. I don't.
Yeah, this time it doesn't look anything like that.
Yeah.
Literally, it just looks like it looks like one of the fake bumps that you put on for a TV show. That's what it looks like. Her breasts do not look any larger. And if she's that far along, because supposedly she gave birth a few weeks after this. If that was the case, her breasts should have been significantly larger and starting to fill up, you know, with the colostrum.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or at least be significantly larger. They look normal. The same.
Yeah.
They look normal.
My whole thing on Harry and Meghan and you know, like for a long, like I tried so hard to like stay unbiased, like, you know, my mother would be like, oh, you know, like I don't like her or this. And I just was like, listen, if they're well, happy.
Mom with, hates Camilla, my, so she's definitely well, against yeah, that's Charles.
A whole different story. My whole thing is with Harry and Meghan, if, you know, she's estranged from her family and you're now estranged from, you know, your family, the common denominator in all of this is the two of you. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't all be Meghan's family's fault and Harry's family's fault. You know, like, families have issues. All families have issues. I don't care what family it is. Like, every family has their own issues. But if you're both estranged from your families, the only common denominator is the two of you. So, like, maybe it's not all them. Maybe you need, you know, you need to look inside a little bit and say, neither one of us have any family members with the exception of her mother and maybe Harry's two cousins. Like, nobody wants anything to do with us. Why do they all hate us? You know, like, maybe you need to look inside yourselves at that point and say, what are we doing wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, Meghan's stepsister is suing her.
That doesn't surprise me. Her stepsister seems a little nutty, I'm not gonna lie. Like, she needs to like step away from the lights, the cameras, and the microphones just a little bit.
Yeah. It's a defamation trial.
Meghan even said anything about her?
I don't know.
The only thing Meghan said is that they've never been as close as her sister claimed they were. And that everything that her sister has said about her is a lie.
That's not really defamation.
But I think it was in an article.
Yeah. Because the sister claims that they were very close and that Meghan's lying about a lot of the stuff, especially when it comes to like grandmother and that she felt like the queen was her grandmother.
Oh, okay. So Meghan. Yeah. I want to say this about Meghan and Harry and not come across as like, Meghan may well be a narcissist. Not going to diagnose her as a narcissist, but she may well be a narcissist, and Harry may well have mental issues. Not going to diagnose that either, but they may well have like issues.
Yes.
You know, the fact that Meghan laid across Diana's grave in order to like try and commune with her. The fact that Harry believes that he's having conversations with his mother. Like, there are definite signs that maybe they have some issues. So like, I can see her sister's point a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, because she kept claiming that that she can remember making, what was it, apple butter jam with her grandmother. And she's like, her grandmother had it made, and according to Samantha, which was Meghan's sister.
Right.
Half-sister, not Sam.
Right.
Not our Sam.
Samantha, you made,
yeah.
You cooked with Meghan?
Yep.
With Meghan's grandmother.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Back in like 73 or like 70, like in the 70s.
Yeah, definitely
well before you were born. Before you were born, Samantha.
Exactly. And well before Meghan was even born.
Right, because Meghan's younger than I am, I think.
Meghan was born in 81. August 4th of 81.
So she's younger than I am. So yeah, she was not 11.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
She's less than a year older than me.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's something. And is it that you're playing this up because you think people are going to eat it up? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, she's trying to play up the all-American girl.
Which is fine, you know? But you're not the all-American girl.
Like, right?
No, like first of all, there's no such thing. Like, it's a stereotype that doesn't exist, but it's okay. An all-American girl doesn't come from a broken family. So,
no.
You know, it's a trope that's been played out. It doesn't exist. Like, stop trying to you know, sell yourself into that, because you're so much more.
Yeah.
So, just reading. I'm sorry. So basically, it's the lawsuit is in response to Megan's CBS interview from 2021, and Samantha claimed that Megan's statements about their family had a negative impact on sales of her autobiography.
Ah, okay. I mean, it's still a hard to prove case. Defamation is not easy.
Megan tried to get it dismissed twice and it was denied.
It failed. Yeah. Megan also hasn't fought for the release of the palace's investigation into her bullying. Like, she hasn't fought very hard for that at all. I'm almost wondering if it's because it's going to prove that it was all true.
Right. Right, because if she really wanted to prove that it was a lie, she would have fought tooth and nail to be like, look, I'm not.
Yeah, that, I mean, they said in the beginning, like when like it was first announced that it was finalized, like they asked for it to be released, and then that was it. Like, you haven't continued to fight for that. So is that because the report actually states that it was true that you were bullying your staff?
I'm just tired of the two of them, and they just need to go away now.
Well, and the thing is, like, yes, their approval ratings with, like, the younger demographic are pretty high. I think, like, from, like, 18 to 24 or whatever, that's where they're most popular. But their popularity in the UK is, like, non-existent. And their popularity in the U.S. is continually dropping. And I think it's because people are tired of listening to them whine and, you know, this whole victim mentality. And I'm sorry, but you can't be victims of what's happening. Like, you are participants, right? You know, like, there's nothing that happened to Harry that, you know, he's a victim of. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing happened to the two of them that you were a victim of. Like, you have made yourselves victims. You know, you're a victim of the press. You're a victim of your family. You're a victim. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't exist.
Right?
I mean, I'm trying to see. I think in 2017, Harry did a podcast interview about his mental health. So this is, he would have been dating Meghan at this point. They had not announced their engagement yet. I'm not sure what month that the podcast took place, but they were not engaged yet. But it was a podcast about his mental health, which was groundbreaking at the time. Like, people were very supportive of this, of him speaking about his own issues with mental health and you know, what he was dealing with. And in the podcast interview, he described his gratitude to William for him being the person that persuaded him to get help for the issues that, you know, he was having. So this is well before any estrangement from the family. It's well before, you know, Meghan and he had either gotten engaged or announced their engagement. You know, so this was like back in the good times, I guess you can call it. So in 2017, you know, he was thanking his brother for pushing him to go into therapy and get help. And then, you know, just many weeks ago when the book was released, you know, all of a sudden now it's his brother told him to stop getting therapy because it was brainwashed. You know, he's being brainwashed and, you know, all these things that, what changed?
Right.
You know, what, so like, like, it's so, there's so much hypocrisy between the book, the interviews, the documentary, and things that he said before. So, you know, either family changed, you know, and they went from being completely supportive of everything, getting help, doing this, doing that, to not being supportive, and now you're fighting back, or someone changed you and is now telling you that, you know, separating you from your family.
Again, we don't know Meghan. We don't know what she's really like in real life. Of course, everyone that comes out is a personal friend of hers and how sweet and, you know, wonderful she is and blah, blah, blah. Like, I've never seen someone who is an unbiased opinion on her. But I don't know. It's just a little weird to me.
It's sad. Like, you know, like if you go based on like everything that they've done, the documentary, the book, the interviews, you know, Harry went from William helped me with my struggles to no one helped me with my struggles to I had a therapist on call, to the fact that when William and I got into, like, you know, a fist fight, the first person I called was my therapist, to Meghan couldn't seek mental help when she was pregnant because the family would look down on that, to, you know, him being brainwashed by therapy, to, you know, he didn't, it's just, he couldn't help Meghan. But Meghan's mother is a social worker, but Harry suffers from mental illness, but it's not a disorder, you know, but he has mental struggles, but it doesn't affect his decision making, you know, to not believing that his mother died, to now receiving messages from your mother, to, you know, there's just so many things that, like, pick a side and stick with it. Pick your story. Whatever your story is, pick it.
Yeah.
Just go with it.
There was actually, someone posted it. There was a really weird story that he had on, in his book. Of course, he also did the audio. He recorded.
Is it about his frostbitten penis?
Yes.
Yeah. And he used the same
like lotion or whatever that his mom used to use.
Elizabeth Arden cream, because that's what his mom used to use as like moisturizer or something. Like the boy,
like, but like what skeeved me out is like when he was like listening to him talk about like when he opened the container, he just thought of his mother and then he started rubbing his penis with this lotion. Like, Harry.
Yeah.
That's there's something wrong.
Yeah, he has.
That's just strange.
He has some legitimate issues, whether it's a disorder or just is struggling. And
could be PTSD, you know, or, you know, like, who knows? It's definitely, I think, trauma based. He's had a lot of trauma.
He has. I mean, listen, but he's also, outside of his mother, which is the most traumatic thing that a 12-year-old, you know, should have to deal with, especially on the public stage. You know, there's things that didn't happen to him. There's things that he participated in, you know, drugs. And listen, I could care less who's smoking up as a teenager, you know? Like, that's just something that's going to happen. But, like, you know, and putting in your book that you went to Courtney Cox's house and you did mushrooms. Like, sorry. Why is that in your book? Are you saying Courtney Cox gave you the mushrooms? Because now that's a whole different ballgame. Like, you want to be part of the celebrity mindset, but you're throwing these celebrities under the bus. Nobody's going to want to acknowledge you if you keep doing this. You know, you did the interview with Oprah and basically said that the royal family was racist, and Gayle King, you know, backed you up on like the morning show or her show or whatever, saying, oh, they've got receipts. And then just last week you said, nope, they're not racist. Well, you had a year to put out there that the royal family wasn't racist. For a year, people have been attacking the royal family, saying that they were racist. And here, now, a year later, you're saying, no, they weren't racist. Why would you not come out a year ago and say, my family is not racist?
Right.
But
that's not what I meant. Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Are you just trying to win?
Yes.
You know, like, are you just trying to win? Or I don't know. Sell a book or sell a docuseries or sell, you know, like, what is the end game?
I don't think they know what the end game is.
No, but it's a one-sided fight, and which isn't fair. And that's what just makes me annoyed at this point, is just that it's just them taking shots one after the other. And then, you know, but again, with everything that happened on Twitter and like the whole thing about Meghan, and, you know, Jennifer, I think you mentioned like you had seen something come out about this before, but it had kind of like disappeared. I'm pretty sure the palace had like tried to
shut it down.
Shut it down.
I think they shut it down.
Yeah, they're not shutting it down anymore.
No,
it's out there. Well, those pictures are live, and I mean out there.
Yeah, it came out last year, 2 years ago. I don't know. My brain is like fuzzy on dates, but yeah, I remember it coming out. I remember that they wanted to depose her, and then all of a sudden it went away. So I don't know if that was the palace that did it, if her people did it, if somebody did it. You know, it got shut down, and then it was a settlement. Prince Andrew settled. So don't know. But if it's true that she did meet Prince Andrew however many years ago, that shoots Harry's, you know, Meghan didn't Google us thing right out of the water. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he said, you know, oh, she didn't know who we were when she thought Prince Andrew was like my grandmother's PA or something.
Well, that's already crap because there's literally an interview with her and someone asked her, would she prefer Prince William or Prince Harry?
Well, and there's a picture of her there's a picture of her as William. A little girl. Yeah, of course he was going to be king. There was a picture of her as like a teenager or something in front of Buckingham Palace. Like, everybody knows who the royal family is. Even if you don't know them, like, their entire story, you know.
You know who they are.
You know who they are. And I don't care if you're American or, like, because you know, she said, oh, I'm an American. Like, we don't really care. You know who they are. There's no way you don't know who the British royal family is. Especially Harry and William, Charles, and the Queen.
Whatever. I guess we'll see what happens. Coronation will be coming this spring, so we'll see if they get an invite.
They'll get an invite. I don't think they'll go, but they'll get an invite.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe down the road we'll do another one of these episodes with Jennifer coming in. Yeah, with, you know, our dear guest coming back to commentate on all this again. Because this is not over.
No. Not by a long shot.
This is not over.
Especially since they're, you know, they said that we're not coming back until the family apologizes to us. And I think it'll be a cold day in hell before any of that happens. So,
yeah, because since when do they ever do that? And when, on the rare occasion that they do something like that, it's long after the fact.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, thank you, Jennifer, again for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yep. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch us next time.
And see what we're going to talk about.
Because the three fates decide.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.